Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Normally when Bill Bender is on a Super Talk Mississippi production, Richard Cross is doing all the talking, but I'm taking advantage today. Bill Bender is here from the Sporting News to talk a little college football with us up there in Big Ten country. So we'll start there, Bill. I don't think this is going to be the case, but what's going to be the mood up there in the North if the Big Ten championship game is USC versus Oregon?
Surreal would be my first answer. I think there's a lot of, for the Big Ten traditionalists out there like myself, there's going to be weird feelings when you see USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon wearing the Big Ten patch. But with that, this is the environment we live in. I think what they're going to discover on the West Coast is that this league still, maybe I'm biased, it still revolves on some level around the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. And it will be interesting to see which, if any, schools can upset that. You know what I mean? I think Oregon's one of those teams coming into the Big Ten that should feel like they could win it.
When you look at the Big Ten and you look at the Michigan, you know, normally a team that wins a national championship, you're on cruise control for a couple of seasons, and things are just going to go the way they go. But it's not that way at Michigan this year because they have a new head coach. So with Harbaugh out and Sharon Moore in, what's the situation with him in terms of patience? You know, if Michigan, it takes a step back this year, if they're an 8-4 team, and when you look at their schedule, they could be. What is the heat level around Sharon Moore? Does he have to produce right away?
Well, last year wasn't any ordinary national championship. I can't recall one where a coach was suspended twice during the season, and you had the NCAA in the crosshairs for a recruiting thing, one, and then the Connor Stallions mess. That's as liberally as I can put that, but they still went out and won the game on the field. I don't think the NCAA will hit them any harder now that Harbaugh's gone. And so there's a little bit of a honeymoon with Sharon, no question. And I think this year there's less to worry about in terms of an implosion because they have a lot coming back, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, guys like Will Johnson, Mason Graham, some others. But in 3 years, I think that's when we look. You know, the best comparison I can do, Brian, is remember where LSU won it with Joe Burrow and that basically an NFL team. Mm-hmm. And now – And the bottom dropped out pretty quick after they lost to Mississippi State. So, you know, yeah, there'll always be that pressure at Michigan, but I think there is a little bit of a honeymoon period because of everything they went through last year. And, you know, at the end of the day, they won their first national title since 1997.
One of the players you hear a lot about up there in Big Ten country is Drew Allar up at Penn State. You know, a 5-star recruit, and he was supposed to be the guy that took Penn State to the next level. And I got the vibe last year that they just didn't trust him a lot in big games. They didn't let him throw down the field. And it was a really odd situation for such a highly touted quarterback. Does he break out this year? Can he be a guy who takes Penn State to the playoff?
He can be, yeah. I mean, when you look, he's such a tough eval because when you look at the overall statistics,
Bill, you there? Oh, goodness.
Hello?
Hey.
I lost it for a second.
I don't know what happened there. But we're good just because we're not live. So okay. just start up with your answer again.
I'll restart it, Drew Allar. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
We do have some sketchy weather here, so I don't know if that's that. Okay, let me start. 1, 2, 3. Well, Drew Allar's such a tough eval. Isn't he? He's one of those guys that 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, Penn State won 10 games. And, you know, you look at that and you're like, well, what went wrong? Some of it was they didn't throw the ball down the field a ton. Some of it was the struggles against Ohio State and Michigan. And I'm sure you noticed when they played Ole Miss, you know, they were calling for the backup quarterback, a guy that's pretty athletic in Bo Pribula. So in terms of breakthrough, I think they're in the same boat as Ole Miss in terms of, they did everything but make the 14 playoff during that period. And I think they can break through. And I think not playing Ohio State and Michigan together every year is going to help them with the schedule. Should be a really good Penn State football team this year. But James Franklin, like Lane Kiffin, always faces that versus top 10 teams discussion, if you know right. What I mean.
Yeah. When you look around the country as a whole, you know, we're so focused on this 12-team playoff. Everybody's excited for it, as they should be. But who are the teams to you that aren't playoff contenders but are still interesting this season?
Well, I think the Big 12 as a whole.
Yeah.
And that's – it doesn't – I don't know who's going to win that conference. I think they'll get no more than two playoff berths. But, you know, Colorado is going to be the first answer out of a lot of people's mouths. But what about West Virginia? Mm-hmm. They turned it on at the end of last year. And they're one of those schools when you get in the Super League discussion, they kind of get left out. But they're a very good team. I think Oklahoma State, not operating in Oklahoma and Texas's shadow anymore, a very interesting team for me to watch. And they've got all of their offensive linemen back and Ollie Gordon, who won the Doak Walker Award last year. So they're definitely one of those teams. You know, SEC-wise, I think the playoff order and those contenders is pretty straightforward. But, you know, how does Arkansas and South Carolina fit in this setup? Arkansas, a lot of talk about Sam Pittman and his job security after the turnaround he led there. South Carolina, Shane Beamer, do they take those next steps? And I'm wondering what's life like for them when you add Texas and Oklahoma to this conference, who are obviously big-name programs.
Let's talk a little bit about Mississippi State before we get out of here. Jeff Lebby was quoted a few weeks ago talking about development, and development's always kind of an interesting word for me. I sometimes it can be you don't recruit very well, and you have to take players and make them better. But sometimes there are programs, and I think Mississippi State was one of those under Dan Mullen, that can find those diamond-in-the-rough guys and turn them into all-SEC kind of players. A little tougher in the portal era. So my question is there still a place for a program like a Mississippi State that wants to focus on development, that still wants to get that base of high school players every year and use the portal more to fix holes? When you look at Ole Miss and then the other side of that equation, is there still a place for programs like that in today's college football?
I'm interested to see what the offense looks like. Do they run the Lebby offense that can get up and down? And when you're at Mississippi State, and this isn't breaking news to you, I think you have to do things a little bit differently. I would equate them to, and this is a bad comparison in some ways, but to Iowa in the Big Ten, not offensively, of course,
right.
But a program that has to do things their own way, and they can win that way. I always tell people Mississippi State's a program that was number one in the country at one point under Dan Mullen and had Dak Prescott at quarterback, and they did things differently, and they had that big showdown with Alabama. As long as your home field advantage is still there, as long as you can recruit in state at a high level and then spread it around in the portal, which Ole Miss has been able to do, they still can have a place in this conference. I think their history matters to me too. And if you look at their schedule, I think they got the tougher end of it than Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know how you guys sort it out. And that's why I keep telling people, to me, this year feels like a how does it work? How does a 16-team SEC with no divisions work? We're about to find out. It's going to be really exciting.
And so that sort of leads into my last question. You know, what does success look like for year one and Jeff Lebby? We do a mailbag show every week, and somebody asked, should State fans look at it from a qualitative standpoint rather than quantitative? They could be 5-7, but if they're running up and down the field on offense and you know they just got to get a few guys defensively, that's something to be excited about. It could be very similar to Mullen's first year where State was 5-7, but you could just see the improvement in them.
For sure. And I think that's where it is. And, you know, we do get hung up on wins and losses. It's a thing where I think if you got to between five and seven wins, and there are several programs in the SEC that I could say that about, and Mississippi State's one of them. And another one, by the way, is Florida, who has the brutal end of the schedule. Yeah. Anybody that's looked at Florida's schedule has to be like, well, how can you put Billy Napier on the hot seat when you play that many tough games? Because to me, 6-6 would be a win against that schedule. They don't want to hear that in Gainesville, though. So the sliding definition of success is very interesting to me. You know, 9-3 for a lot of programs might. I would ask you the same question. I hate to turn the interview on you, but how do you think a 9-3 SEC or Big Ten team can get in the playoff? I think the answer is yes, but I'm going to be interested to see if the committee still weighs that overall record over the quality, which you just mentioned.
It's going to be tough. You know, I was looking at, let's just say Georgia. Georgia's not going 9-3. But
no.
They play at Alabama, at Texas, and at Ole Miss. I mean, if they lose those three games, are you trying to tell me they're not one of the 12 best teams? They probably just lost three top five games there or something like that. So it just depends. And that's a good way of looking at it. You know, this could be a situation where metrics come into play a little bit more than before. Maybe the eye test needs to come into play. You know, if you go back and look at a season ago, your eyes told you Georgia was one of the best four teams in the conference or in the country. It didn't matter that they lost to Alabama. They were clearly better, I would say, than Washington, than Texas, and maybe even Michigan. But they didn't get in. So that's definitely one way to look at it. Bill, before you get out here,
go ahead.
I want to tell you, yesterday, or it was 2 days ago, on the show, I don't know what we were talking about exactly, but Richard mentioned an under-the-radar college football game, Ohio State at Oregon. I don't know how that's under the radar. So the next time you talk to him, ask him about that under-the-radar game out there in Oregon between two top five teams.
Well, real quick before you let me go, the surrealness of this season is, so that game in particular, Ohio State-Oregon, that will be on my 45th birthday. And saying, hey, happy birthday or anything. But when I looked at the schedule, I always look around my birthday weekend, and I was thinking to myself, I'm going to be watching Oregon and Ohio State in a huge Big Ten game in Eugene. Now I know I'm going to be old. So it was a lot of fun to see that. And I don't know. It's not under the radar around here because I know that's one they've got circled in Columbus.
My birthday's always around the Egg Bowl, so it's always real stressful for me. So we'll see how it goes. Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Thanks so much for your time, man. Really good stuff. Appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.